This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
And this is an incredible rahmah of Allah. It's an incredible rahmah of Allah. Allah did not describe punishment for the sinner. Allah only described their deeds. Because that way, even if they're sinning right now, they can stop sinning and focus on their deeds.
وَالنَّجْمِ إِذَا هَوَى مَا ضَلَّ صَاحِبُكُمْ وَمَا غَوَى.
Behina TV doesn't just teach you about the Quran. You can also learn Arabic from a brilliant teacher. Ustad Naman Ali Khan has made this beautiful ancient language easy to understand. So you're not only improving your language skills, but your understanding of the Quran too. Tap now to check out Behina TV.
Now that I've given you Ahsanu Bil Husna, and we'll do Bil Husna at the very end, now let's see what these two ba's were doing. Look, Allah could have said He will give the sinners based on their sins, because of their sins, and He will pay the excellers because of their excellence. But He didn't do that. So there are two things missing. He pays the sinners their pay. He didn't say, the pay is missing. What Allah hasn't mentioned is, He mentioned why they're being given the pay, but He's not mentioning their pay itself. But with the believers, He's not mentioning why He's paying them, but He's only mentioning the payment. Okay? So there's two things, the reason and the payment. With the sinners, Allah mentions the reason, but He doesn't mention the payment. With the believers, He mentions the payment, but He doesn't mention the reason. And this is an incredible rahmah of Allah. It's an incredible rahmah of Allah. Allah did not describe punishment for the sinner. Allah only described their deeds. Because that way, even if they're sinning right now, they can stop sinning and focus on their deeds. And not tell themselves, well, I'm just going to get punished. He took away the punishment from the ayah and focused on their deeds. But for a believer, he didn't focus on the believer's deeds. He focused on Allah's payment. Why? So the believer doesn't become impressed with their deeds. They don't start thinking, it's because of my deeds I'm going to get Jannah. No, you're going to get Jannah because of Al-Husna. Or with you're going to be compensated. Those who did their best will be compensated with the ultimate best. Look at the transition now. Let's understand this last part. Alladhina ahsanu bil husna. My best, is that perfect? Your best, is that perfect? Far from it. Far from it. Our best is pretty lame. But it's still our best. Allah does not say, I will give you according to, because your best was like 60%, so I'm going to give you reward based on 60%. Al-Husna in Arabic actually is the superlative form. It actually means the ultimate best, the absolute best. Was my effort absolutely the best? No, it was imperfect, because my best is imperfect. But Allah's reward based on my imperfect effort is actually ultimately the most beautiful. This is the same word that's used for Allah's names. فَلَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. It's the description of something. Nothing can be more beautiful is what's called al-husna. Nothing can be more beautiful inside and out is called al-husna. Allah is saying, I will give you in Jannah something that will look beautiful on the outside and you will feel beautiful on the inside. And you have never seen more beauty on the outside and you have never felt this beautiful on the inside. That is al-husna. And that's what I'm willing to give you. You just give me your best. وَيَجْزِيَ الَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا بِالْحُسْنَى. You know what Allah is showing us? Allah is showing us the sinners are going to be punished exactly based on their deeds, but the doers of good are being given way more than they could ever earn. Way more than that. Now let's think about this inside and outside beauty before we conclude. If I'm in a beautiful place, but I'm depressed, does the place look beautiful? You could be in a 5-star hotel, they're giving you the best food, everything's amazing, and you're like,
I don't know why nothing means anything. I'm not hungry. I don't want to go anywhere. Can we go back home? Because there's beauty on the outside, but there are feelings of ugliness on the inside. That's not al-husna. There are people who try to find goodness on the inside. And I've met people that have a lot of happiness on the inside and they have practically nothing outside. They have nothing outside. But that doesn't mean their life is easy. There's still the ugliness of the outside to deal with. Disease, sickness, poverty, hunger. They have to deal with those things. Those are ugly things. But at least they have a lot more beauty on the inside. Allah is offering us a Jannah where it's the ultimate beauty on both ends. It's beyond, we can't imagine this. It's not something we've ever experienced. We can't. And he says, this is what he's going to do. Why? Because he owns whatever's in the skies and whatever's in the earth. لِيَجْزِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسَاءُوا بِمَا عَمِلُوا وَيَجْزِيَ الَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا بِالْحُسْنَى. I'm going to give you a taste of tomorrow. Just a taste. And I can't go into the whole thing because I don't want to do injustice to the ayah. We have a little bit of time, so I'm going to use it. Those who do their best, I mean, I expect that they're people of tahajjud. I expect that these are people that are doing at least one umrah a year, multiple hajjajs, donate a lot of money, right? They're at the masjid every day, you know, five times a day, or at least fajr and isha every day. These are people that are like doing dhikr all the time. They're just spiritual high standards. These are people of ihsan. These are people of ihsan. This ayah 32 is a description of the people that will get the very best Jannah. Al-Husna. Al-Husna means they can't be any more beautiful than that. These are the people who get it. I'm going to just translate it for you so you appreciate what he's saying. الَّذِينَ يَجْتَنِبُونَ كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَالْفَوَاحِشِ. The people who are able to stay away from and avoid major sins and all kinds of indecency and ugliness. إِلَّا اللَّمَمْ, except slip-ups. Except the occasional slip-ups. Except messing up here and there. إِنَّ رَبَّكَ وَاسِعُ الْمَغْفِرَةِ. No doubt about it, your master is very vast in forgiveness. وَأَعْلَمُ بِكُمْ إِذَا أَنْشَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ. He knows better about you when he brought you up from the earth. وَإِذْ أَنْتُمَ جِنَّةٌ فِي بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ. And he knows you better. He's known you better when you were in the bellies of your mothers hidden away. فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. So don't consider yourselves pure. وَأَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. He knows better who has taqwa. That's the ayah. This ayah needs an hour. Well, you just need to appreciate what's happened here. The previous ayah was people who do ihsan. الَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا بِالْحُسْنَى. The people of ihsan should be described now with the best deeds. What are the best deeds? They don't mess up in a major way. They don't kill anybody. They don't eat haram. They don't commit major sins. And they do mess up sometimes. Like, illa lamam, they do mess up sometimes. Not major sins, but, you know, stuff happens. They get angry sometimes. They ended up backbiting somebody here and there. They look somewhere they shouldn't have looked. They had a conversation they shouldn't have. They do make mistakes. And I'm telling you something. I know there are kids here, so I won't go into detail. Classical Mufassirun, when they explain this ayah, slip-ups, PG-13, maybe even R. They were, and now you're like, is this tafsir of Quran? From the Sahaba? From what? Is this all? Does anybody else know this? Is Ibn Kathir? Like when I open and start reading, and I'm like, I better not read this out loud. They actually started going into detail, what is the slip-up? And the slip-ups are a bunch of astaghfirullahs. I'm telling you, they're a bunch of astaghfirullahs. Why are they there? Why are these people saying this? Why are they so liberal? I thought Islam is conservative. Because, you know, we have a black and white world, right? Liberal, conservative. And if you're a good Muslim, you're supposed to be a conservative. And if you're going to Jahannam, you're supposed to be a liberal. The problem is, the Quran is neither liberal nor conservative. The Quran is balanced. And it came to human beings. And human beings aren't perfect. And they mess up. And just because they mess up Allah doesn't take their hope away. You can't do your best. You messed up. You can't be a person of ihsan. Look at what you did. No, Allah doesn't cancel people. Allah says, okay, they do their best. They stay away from major things and then they mess up too. And when they mess up, it's not a permanent mess up. It's momentary. They mess up and then he immediately adds, Inna rabbaka wasi'ul maghfirah. Allah is, your Rabb is so vast in forgiveness. Your Rabb is so vast in forgiveness. You know what that means? We claim that religion is merciless. Religion is harsh. Religion is judgmental. You know what's happened today? Because we want to run away from religion, human beings have become more judgmental than ever before. Allah is vast in forgiveness. Human beings have become extremely narrow in forgiveness because they're away from Allah. You know what you have now? Millions of videos. How to deal with a narcissist. How to deal with a toxic person. If you have a toxic spouse, watch this. If you have a toxic mother, watch this. Oh my God, my mother's toxic. My cousin's toxic. My brother's toxic. My husband's toxic. My wife is toxic. My God, I live in a toxic waste dump. I better put a hazmat suit on. Everybody around me is toxic. And all those toxic people are watching the same toxic video and calling you toxic. Isn't that the world we live in now? And by the way, once you declare someone is a narcissist, someone is toxic, you know what that means, right? Is that like a this week they're toxic or they're forever toxic? Oh, that's a toxic person. That means they're going to die toxic. They're going to die a narcissist. They're going to die this. Once you put a label on them, once you put a sin on them, once you put a mistake on them, once you put a label on them, they must wear that label like their own skin. They have to become this now. And we call this liberation. This is liberation. And religion is oppressive. Do you see the hypocrisy and the irony? What is Allah just saying? What is Allah saying? Allah is saying people who, like the best people are people who accomplish this amazing thing. What's this amazing thing? They stayed away from major sins. That's it. They didn't like pray all night and fast every Monday and Thursday and they didn't like do Umrah every, they didn't quit all their friends. They didn't just cry all the time. They didn't do any of that. They just stayed away from major sins. Then what? Oh yeah, they messed up a little bit. Huh? Wait, that doesn't sound like ihsan. That sounds like they did something toxic. They messed up. How can you, they can't be part of this ayah. Yeah, you didn't decide that as Allah. And he says, but I'm not that forgiving. Yeah, you're not that forgiving. Inna rabbaka wasi'ul maghfirah. Your Rabb is vast in forgiveness, which is an interesting indication that you're not vast in forgiveness. This religion came to open the doors of rahmah for people. There are people in your family you've had an argument with. They messed up. They said something. Stuff happened. It's hard for you to let go. It's hard. Some people are so hard pressed on not being able to forgive. You know what they do? They say dramatic things about Judgment Day. Allah will ask you on Judgment Day. I will tell Allah about this on Judgment Day. I love that. I love that line. Allah will ask you on Judgment Day. Because Allah told you what He's going to ask on Judgment Day. And when Judgment Day begins and every creation is quiet, He's going to give you a passport. You're going to say, Ya Allah, before the proceedings begin, my cousin, last Eid, ask him about what he said. That's how you think Judgment Day is going to work. The audacity with which we speak about who Allah will punish and what He will question, so far from what Allah says. So far from what Allah says. Here we are looking for the rahmah from Allah, begging for the rahmah from Allah, and we have no room for rahmah for each other. It's incredible. And Allah is describing this, and the Sahaba were like, you know, there's one ayah in Surah Al-An'am. وَلَمْ يَلْبَسُوا إِيمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمٍ. Allah describes believers. He says, those who believed and never corrupted their faith with doing anything wrong. And the Sahaba were like, we're done. Nobody's going to heaven. Because the ayah says they believed and they never corrupted their faith with anything wrong. How many? They're all human. They've done plenty of things wrong. What's going to happen? They went to the Prophet. Ayyuna la yadhlimu nafsahu. Who of us doesn't wrong themselves? No, Allah is saying dhulm here means shirk. They didn't do something majorly bad. The ultimate dhulm. Inna shirka la dhulmun azeem. That's what Allah is saying here. The Prophet explained, and the Sahaba are like, and so are the rest of us. Like, oh, okay. You know what? I've been trying to study Quran for 20-something years. I'll tell you something. The khutbas that I've heard in my youth and the talks and the literature that I've read, it made me feel for a long time that chances are I'm going to hell. And so are most of you. Chances are. Because we're not going to make it. We're just not good enough. And the reason that's happened is because we're constantly compared to people that were amazing. So, and clearly, I'm no Abu Bakr. You're no Umar. You're no Fatima. You're no Aisha. So we're basically meant for the grand barbecue. That's And then the khutbas that I heard all these years, the thing that kept getting repeated is all the amazing people already died. And now we just have you. I don't know if you've heard all of this, but I certainly did. Over and over again. You know how you say kinaya, you're saying it without saying it? There's a lot of saying this without saying it. And Allah is angry with this person, and Allah will punish this, and Allah will get you for this. And look at what the Muslims are doing here. Allah will punish. Allah will punish. Allah will punish. Look at this haram. Look at this haram. Look at this haram. And yep, Allah is going to punish. I don't think I want to make it. This looks pretty bad. And they got a lot of dalil too. They quote a lot of ayat and the hadith. And when they get to the ayat of like Jahannam, then the volume goes up. You ever notice that? The volume goes up whenever they talk about Jahannam. Even the khatib, nicest guy. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you? Alhamdulillah, mashallah. Then he's about to give a khutbah.
Inna alhamdulillah, nahmada wa nasta'ina.
What happened to you? You just sent everybody to hell with your voice. And then I found something else. So one narrative of Islam I found, even studying Islam, a narrative of Islam I found is, chances are you're going to Jahannam. Then I found a counter narrative. A reaction. And to every action, there's equal but opposite reaction. The Prophet ﷺ loved humanity. Allah loves us. We should love ourselves. Allah will forgive. Let's tolerate. Let's accept. Let's hold hands. Let's accept the sinner. Let's hug the sinner. Let's hug the sin while we're at it too. Because the deen is rahmah. We need to have rahmah. Rahmah, rahmah, rahmah. Allah is ar-Rahman. So one extreme was everybody's going to hell. And then you get an equal but opposite reaction, which is what? Everybody's going to heaven. It's a party. And I have to realize, you know what, one thing you will notice, all of these, is ma tahwal anfus. Is dhan and hawa nafs. I don't say this with 100% guarantee, but I'm a student of psychology. And I've seen men that talk a lot about hellfire and they don't have healthy personal lives. There's a lot going on in their life and they're very angry about it and it comes out on the mimbar. And I'm not joking. This is serious. This is serious. There are women that are teaching halaqat that are talking about how difficult it is for you to make it into Jannah. And they are very depressed in their personal life. Their emotions have now started polluting. They don't even realize it. It started polluting their understanding of the religion. Corrupting it. Now it's not the Quran speaking. It's me making the Quran speak what I want to say. I'm using the Quran, but I'm actually speaking my own thoughts, my own version. Allah is extremely loving sometimes and extremely scary sometimes. He's both. Allah opens some doors sometimes. But when I said slip-ups, Allah will forgive. Some people here got uncomfortable. What is he trying to make everybody liberal? You know why? Because your comfort zone is in the conservative. And some people here that may lean towards the liberal dynamic say, finally, someone's speaking my truth. Because you know what that is? That's our own hawa finding what we find comfort in and not comfort in. But you and I have to learn to surrender to the word of Allah. Like, I don't have to concern myself with how you will feel when I share what Allah says, because some of you will be uncomfortable with what Allah says. Some of you are not used to hearing what Allah says. If I start caring about that, then that's my hawa nafs. That's me, yantiqu anil hawa. I'm thinking about your feelings before I open my mouth. I can't. Then I shouldn't do this. I should talk about something else. If I'm going to talk about the Quran, then I have to be as honest with the Quran as possible. And I don't have to, I can't concern myself with your emotions and your comfort zones. When Allah opens the door for forgiveness, He opens the door for forgiveness. When He gives room for some, for people to slip up, and slip ups happen. Everybody's human. People mess up. All of us have embarrassing things we've done. All of us. But we're not beyond redemption. In the eyes of people, we cannot be redeemed. And just because people will come and tell you, Allah will never forgive you. You know that? Allah will never forgive you. Really? Allah sent you an email? Where did you get the notification from Allah that He will not forgive you? Where did you get it? وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُطْلِعَكُمْ عَلَى الْغَيْبِ Allah is not one to tell you about the unseen. Where did you get it from? Allah said in the previous ayah, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنْ ضَلَّ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ You know, Khalid ibn Walid is the reason 70 sahaba were killed. You know that, right? Khalid ibn Walid, 70 sahaba at Uhud. The Prophet was almost killed. The Prophet bled in three places in his face. There's a spear going through the Prophet's mouth in Uhud because of who? Khalid ibn Walid. And there are people who pray next to Khalid ibn Walid, and he's the reason their family members are dead. And sometimes he leads them in prayer too. You know that, right? And they don't look at him and get traumatized, because they have something inside them. They understand, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ وَاسِعُ الْمَغْفِرَةِ They don't say, I can't forget what you did. I know that you're a great general, but your great generalness really hurt us that time. I don't want you to ever forget what you have done. What we read these stories, we read this history, we read this Quran, but then we put it on pause and then we live our life. Different standards. This is what we have to change. This is what we have to change. Ihsan is defined, and this is where I'm going to conclude today. Ihsan is defined a certain way in the Muslim community. Ihsan means someone who looks a certain way, they talk a certain way, they have a certain amount of knowledge, they have a certain amount of practice. It's an outwardly thing, ihsan. And ihsan in the Quran is much more attainable. It's much more realistic. How do you become I'm a Muslim. How do you become a muhsin? I'm a Muslim, I've made some mistakes, I've made some sins. How do I become a muhsin? Okay, stay away from major sins. Now you mess up sometimes, just pick yourself up, get back up on the horse, keep moving. Don't get addicted to sin. Don't stick on the same sin. But even along the way, you'll mess up here and there. That'll happen. It's okay. إِنَّ رَبَّكَ وَاسِعُ الْمَغْفِرَةِ What I'll leave you with is where we, last section. What was the last section mostly about? The one before this one. You know? Remember? Angels? Daughters of God? People put angels and daughters of God between themselves and God. Why? Because they say, God's going to be angry at me. I need someone who will forgive, who will put in a good word. Right? And in this next section, Allah says, why do you need anyone? You can mess up. I'll forgive you. You're not beyond redemption with me. إِنَّ رَبَّكَ وَاسِعُ الْمَغْفِرَةِ And you know what? If you spent a long time with me and then I was in trouble, then you'd come and defend me and say, no, I know him personally. I know he messed up here and there, but he's not like that. Because the one who knows you most can defend you the best. You understand? So the angel that has lived his whole life here and here knows you really well, right? And what does Allah say in this ayah? Huwa a'lamu bikum. He knows you better. You were going to use the angel to go make a case to Allah and say, Ya Allah, I know this one. I've been with him my whole life. He's a good person. Allah says, He knows you better. إِذْ أَنْشَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ When you brought you out from the earth. When you were buried deep inside the womb of your mother didn't even know you. I knew you. You're going to tell me somebody else knows you better? Somebody else is going to make a case for you? Nobody will make a case for you like I will. I'm the one who forgives. It's so beautiful. The spiritual way in which he crushes shirk here. Because one of the roles of shirk was, we can't face Allah. He's too scary. We have to put someone in between. And Allah says, why do you need someone in between? Amazing. It's just absolutely amazing. We're going to unpack. We haven't unpacked anything yet, actually. I just introduced the ayah. We didn't actually go into the ayah. But we're going to do this ayah piece by piece. الَّذِي يَجْتَنِبُونَ Then كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ Then فَوَاحِشْ Then إِلَّا اللَّمَمْ Then إِنَّ رَبَّكَ وَاسِعُ الْمَغْفِرَةِ Then هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِكُمْ إِذْ أَنْشَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ Then وَإِذْ أَنْتُمْ أَجِنَّةٌ فِي بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ Then فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ Then هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى It's like 8 lectures. So I can't do it in this time. I can introduce it though. Read this ayah yourself before tomorrow. Contemplate it and we'll discuss it. This is the longest ayah of the surah for a reason. A surah that has so many short ayat, and in the heart of the surah, Allah put this ayah. It's so, so beautiful.
Hey guys, you just watched a small clip of me explaining the Quran in depth as part of the Deeper Look series. Studying the Quran in depth can seem like a really intimidating thing that's only meant for scholars. Our job at Bayyinah is to make deeper study of the Quran accessible and easy for all of you. So take us up on that challenge. Join us for this study, the Deeper Look of the Quran, for this surah and many other surahs on bayyinatv.com. Under the Deeper Look section.